In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey DSTers, Emily here. So before we start this episode, Lauren and I wanted to issue a quick trigger warning. We're discussing an HBO documentary called Brandy Helville, and in that documentary, there is a sexual assault allegation that we also discuss in this episode. It's around the 20-minute mark, and I would say if you're a victim of sexual assault, you might want to proceed with caution. But with that in mind, we love how this episode came out, and we hope you guys enjoy it. Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Lauren.
And I am Emily. And I forgot to bring you a can of Celsius. It was going to be so good. I was going to open it on air. It was going to be a gag, you know, that like I open the can, hand you the Celsius, force you to drink the whole thing.
Girl, I would have drank it. I'm so tired. On the subway this morning, somebody was drinking a Celsius right in front of me and I was just staring at it like, ooh, I bet that tastes good.
They were drinking one on the subway?
Yeah.
Oh, that's living. That is living large.
I mean, it's drugs, but...
Yeah, but it's the legal kind.
I'm still coming off of them.
Yeah.
I had so much coffee today, but I'm still tired. We'll get there.
We'll get there, but today is a very exciting day because we've actually been planning to discuss this for a while.
We've been trying.
We've been tracking when this was going to come out. I mean, I feel like it was 3 weeks ago we thought this documentary was dropping.
Yeah, they dropped it at a festival, but all the advertising made it look like it was dropping on HBO Max and we were all ready to go. And then Emily and I were texting each other like, do you see it on your TV?
It was 10 o'clock p.m.
Do you see it on your TV?
I don't see it on HBO. I need to watch this for tomorrow. And I was so eager, but it's fine because now it has arrived. And it's actually even better because I've seen some of the feedback from it. And guys, we're talking about the Brandy Melville documentary that is on HBO Max.
Brandy Helville.
It's called Brandy Helville and the Cult of Fast Fashion.
Sounds like a Harry Potter movie.
Yeah. Brandy Melville and the Sorcerer's Stone. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about the documentary, but we're not going to talk about it really in full because it kind of was two documentaries in one.
Totally.
And we were talking about this yesterday. We both had kind of the same reaction that like we thought it was just going to be about Brandy Melville. But what I think they were doing was they were using the name Brandy Melville because it does have such a cult following,
right,
so to speak, to kind of teach young people about the dangers of fast fashion.
We were bamboozled by a documentarian.
Yeah. But it was smart.
It's smart and it's a good message.
Yeah, it was smart and I appreciated all the information in it about fast fashion and specifically like where our clothing ends up when we donate it. Not 100% right of the time, but...
And the name for what it's called. Did you catch that in Ghana, the word, the translation for secondhand clothing is literally dead white man's clothes?
Yeah, that really impacted me. No, I don't remember what the actual...
I don't know why I was laughing, but it's because I guess it's messed up. There's like so much clothing waste.
No, it's funny because... The reason why they named it that was because all this clothing was coming in to Ghana. And they thought, well, why would somebody have so much clothing unless they had just died? Which, I mean, it just puts into perspective the amount of consumption in this country that we think is normal. Right. I just donated clothes the other day. I cleaned out my closet. It was two huge garbage bags.
It's
a lot of dead white man's clothes, and I still have a full wardrobe of dead white man's clothes that I will probably get rid of in a few months. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt targeted, and I also felt very guilty watching this documentary because, you know, I've donated clothes, And I think I'm doing a good thing, but half the time they just pile up in an ocean somewhere on a beach or in a market where people are sifting through them and trying to see if they can recycle them somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that part of it was horrifying, but once again, we're not going to delve too deeply into that because the other side of it is a little more relevant to this podcast.
Right. That's why we watched it, because we talked about, I mean, we all heard me have my on-air shock and horror when I found out it was one size. Like, I had been protected from this because I'm like a, you know, I'm 35. I'm kind of an older millennial. Like, I skipped, like, we'll get into it, but like the Brandy Melville stuff flew over my head, A, because of my age, and B, because there was no way in hell I would ever almost fit into a one size anyways.
Yeah, you know? But you didn't know it was one size. Had you heard of Brandy Melville at all?
I had, but it was you and Remy that told me about
it was one size. So you hadn't heard of it before that.
I'm still not okay.
Yeah, so I didn't learn about Brandy Melville until I was probably in my 20s, but I thought, you know, those are little girls' clothes. But then I fell victim to it later in my 20s. I told that whole story. I accidentally bought a pair of Brandy Melville sweatpants from a Buffalo Exchange, and they were the best sweatpants I ever owned. I'm sorry.
The sweatshop sweatpants.
They're great sweatpants. So then I kept buying the sweatpants, and then it was a gateway drug. I started buying t-shirts and other shit. And yes, they are small clothes. I can still wear them, but anybody bigger than me, I'm the limit.
Did you feel like you were in an exclusive skinny person club, getting the clothes?
Okay, here's the deal. I did a lot of self-reflection watching this documentary, and I've done a lot of self-reflection because I've been in the process of breaking up with this brand.
Right.
Because that's where I got all my basics, and I still have a lot of basics from there that I feel bad wearing now because it's a terrible company.
Right.
And I think when I was able to fit into the one size, I think I did feel like
it's validating.
A sense of validation.
Yeah. It's kind of brilliant. It's like it's definitely targeting like impressionable teenage girls, but at the same time, it does also target like 20s, 30s, even 40s. It's like, don't you want to be young? Don't you want to fit into these young people clothes?
Yeah, because it's not just the size. It's also the brand's aesthetic is very youthful. It's very visco girl, California cool, like effortless kind of bohemian.
I'll say it.
Nubile, sure.
And their Instagram is so creepy.
The Instagram is crazy. So let's get into
it. We'll recap for you.
The documentary, like we said, a lot of it is about American consumption of fast fashion, but what we're talking about is the horrible business practices of Brandy Melville. The documentary basically exposes Brandy Melville as an extremely racist, sexist, anti-Semitic company. And that's mainly due to the leadership of CEO Stefan Marson. He's an Italian man, and he's the one who founded the company. It was originally a family company back in Italy. And they would sell t-shirts with like stupid slogans on it. I mean, this is very like,
fat people suck.
Yeah. It must be this small to wear. No. So it's interesting because they go into the whole backstory, and they originally did have sizes.
Yeah.
They had sizes. It was still for teenagers and young people.
Yeah, straight sizes.
But, and yeah, no plus sizes. But they had, you know, your smalls, your mediums, your larges.
Right.
And then somewhere along the way, they did reduce the sizing. But yeah, they lured these girls in, and they made a lot of people really interested in the brand because all of their marketing was done via Instagram. They have no marketing budget. I mean,
they were doing influencer stuff like before influencer stuff was really a big thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, it sucks to say it, but Stefan, the CEO, he does have a knack for this. He is smart.
Stefan Marson, who has a rhyming name, is an evil genius. We don't approve of him, but the whole time that I'm watching this, I'm like catching myself being like, oh shit, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I see why he did that. They came to the US in 2009, and he's like, how can we sell clothes to American girls? And it's like, okay, American girls are really, they have really low self-esteem. They all want to be skinny, you know.
They all want to be the most popular girls in school.
So he literally goes out and finds the most popular girls in school. Girls who don't need jobs. They are Gen Wealth girlies going to school. And he like plucks them And
out of obscurity.
Sort of. Like, they're just, you know, they're living their high school best life.
I mean, they would find some girls on Instagram, but they would also just, if somebody was shopping in the store that they thought had good style or they thought was
they
hot.
They could sniff if it was a popular girl, and then they would grab them. And then, I'm so sorry if I'm getting ahead here, but he did this thing where he would give these, like, rich popular girls credit cards and be like, go out and shop. And then they would come back with clothes that they would wear because they're cool. And then he would copy the clothes and, like, boom, you're a millionaire. You know, like.
Right. Which is definitely frowned upon in the fashion industry to, like, rip off people's designs. Art. But at the same time, brilliant.
So smart.
So smart. And they would even name, like, if a girl was wearing a specific t-shirt,
right,
they would name the t-shirt that they ripped off after the girl, like the Jocelyn t-shirt. And it was literally a girl named Jocelyn wore this exact same t-shirt that we copied.
Right.
So smart, but so wrong. So Stefan is an evil genius. He did not appear in the documentary. I'm not surprised.
No.
But there were several people involved who worked directly with him or in close proximity to him as his employees. And there was one man in particular who they didn't show his face. They didn't blur it out. He was like in darkness.
He was like in a shadow of himself.
And he had this thick Italian accent. Right. I was cracking up. I really was. But I believe that he stayed anonymous because he's one of the people that filed a lawsuit against Stephen Marson. He has a few lawsuits filed against
him. Let's call him Stefan Marson because that's more fun.
Stefan. Yeah, I like still don't know for sure if it's Steven or Stefan.
Well, we don't respect him, so we can just call Steven. Him.
We'll call him Steven now. Let's call him Steve. So,
and don't worry, he's a really bad guy. We're being dicks because he's a horrible
person. No, he's a horrible man. So let me just break it down. So they interviewed these employees. This Italian man in darkness was one of them. He was pretty high up. He opened two stores in Canada, one in Vancouver and one in Toronto. And he said when these stores opened, there were lines around the block. Like it was just insane. Right. These girls were dying. It was like Beatlemania. These girls dying to get into the store. But he ran into a few roadblocks because Stevie, our boy Stevie, he was not happy that there were people of color working in the store.
Right.
He instructed this man to fire several employees because he didn't like the way they looked, either because they were a different race or because he didn't like their body
just
type.
Just fully based on appearance. No dancing around it. Just fire them.
And a bunch of girls young women were interviewed for the documentary who had worked in various stores, and they all had the same stories. They would be hired and fired purely based on appearance.
Right.
And let me just break that down for you guys. Like, a girl would come into the store and they would be instructed if she had the, quote, Brandy look, which is tall, white, and thin.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other parameters, you know. I'm sure they, like, favor a certain look of...
You could probably be short, white, and thin.
Right. Yeah, very diverse. There's a lot of diversity happening. There's tall, thin, white girls, but there's also short, thin,
white
girls. Don't
forget, representation.
It matters.
Yeah.
So the employees would be told to take their picture, which this was a whole creepy thing. Like, they would get their pictures taken every single day. Right. Because they needed what they were wearing to be approved and also, like, how they looked.
I hated that. It's creepy as hell. At first, I was like, okay, they're doing market research, like, what they're doing. But they would take close-ups also of, like, just, like, their chest. And if you look at their Instagram today, like, go on their Instagram right now, listeners. It is close-ups of underage girls' chests. The sales associates don't just walk up to customers like, I'm going to take your picture. They go, oh my God, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice to meet you. For market research, could we take a quick photo? And because everybody's obsessed with being accepted by this snooty popular brand, they're like, oh my God, totally.
Yeah, they're flattered.
And then they just go to this, like, creepy older guy who decides if they're hot or not. And if they're hot, they get a job.
Yeah. And they would basically just offer them a job on the spot. And the only questions they would be asked for the interview would be, you know, your name, where do you like to shop? What's your Instagram handle?
Right.
Nothing about skills that would apply to the job, which I found really hilarious because if you've ever been in one of these stores, they are notorious for having the laziest, worst employees. And listen, it's not like their fault. These are teenagers who probably never worked a job before, but it's hilarious that they just did not care if they were actually good salespeople.
No, they're selling a brand. They're selling an idea.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
I don't want to agree with anything this horrible person is doing, but I get why he's done everything. It's like you know, you're sacrificing like really good, diligent workers who are good at folding and greeting people for people who are going to look like the image you want to project.
Well, I guess because the machine is so big that they don't need them to be good. No. I mean, people shop there all the time. Right. They don't need, and everybody knows that these are the most incompetent workers. One girl, I wrote this down because I thought it was so funny. One girl that was interviewed told a story of seeing a new hire Swiffering the floor without a Swiffer pad because she had never Swiffered before.
I Love that. So you can probably speak to this since you've been a customer. Have you ever been to a store?
So I intentionally went into a store. I had never been in a store, but I intentionally went in for investigative
research. For market research.
For market research purposes.
So are they snooty and mean?
Horrible.
Really?
Yeah. So this is something that actually happened to me when I went in the store. There was a rack of hanging things in the middle of the store. And another thing about the store is, as methodical as Steven is, you would think he would have a more well-organized store. It's like color, all the colors are all over the place. Like one t-shirt in gray is over here, but the same t-shirt in white is on the opposite end of the store. Like, it's crazy. There was this rack that was a freestanding rack with wheels in the middle of the store with hanging things of all different kinds.
Yeah.
So I go to the rack and I'm sifting through it, and there's a girl who I assume works in the store because she has a nasty look on her face, and she's standing on the other side, and she starts staring me down. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, is this like a rack from the back that she was pushing to the front? Yeah. Like, you know how they collect things in the fitting room and then they bring them out to sort? But she wasn't saying anything. So I just kept looking. I was like, oh, it's fine, I guess. I start to pick something up off of the rack. And she aggressively pushes the rack past me. I get pushed back by the wind, the gust of wind that this rack creates. And she just goes, ugh, and keeps pushing it.
Ew.
And this is very typical.
Use your words. Oh, I'm so sorry. We actually have to move that rack to the back real quick. Is there anything that you're interested in that you see here? I can grab it for you. Let me know. How hard is that?
I don't know. I think they get docked. Like, I think their pay gets reduced if they're nice to people. I really do.
I want to say I don't understand it, but I do understand it because it just matches up with their whole business model. Like, The mean sales girl, to me, it reminds me of the Jillian Michaels thing where it's like, you want to be mistreated. You want to be yelled at. You want to be made to feel like you don't fit in because it mirrors the insecurity they already have about themselves. It confirms it for them, you know? So they're like, this all makes sense.
And it's not conscious. It's subconscious. Right. But you do want that. I mean,
it's brilliant.
Really what they want is to be accepted by the cool girls. But it's like you almost expect that little nastiness when
you're
you
like,
go
I'll
in
show
there.
You. I'll buy stuff.
Exactly.
Then you will like me.
Right. I'll show you by spending $200 on some tank tops. It's so insane. Yeah. So they would hire girls based on their appearance. They were not fond of hiring people of color. And they interviewed a woman of color who is a former employee who was designated to the stock room, which was another thing that they would do. They would put all...
Oh, right. It's so creepy.
All the black girls would be
in the
stock room. And they showed footage at one point of like them goofing off in the stock room.
Yeah.
And this girl was basically saying like, yeah, we knew it was wrong, but at the same time, we wanted to be together. Like, I didn't want to be the only black girl on the floor. So I kind of just took it on the chin because I wasn't going to make a stink about it. Also, I would have been fired, so... You know, like they just kind of put up with it. They weren't happy with it, but I think you don't complain, especially when you're that age.
Yeah, when you grow up in certain systems, you kind of, it sucks, but you like adjust accordingly. You're like, okay, well, this is how I'm treated. So let me do the best with what I have rather than, because a lot of times you can't stick up for yourself. Like what if some of these girls like needed those jobs to help their families? As a 16-year-old, you're not going to stand up to your boss and go, hey, this is racist.
Yeah.
You're just going to pack the boxes and pick up your paycheck.
Exactly.
And go home.
Exactly. And they definitely did have, they would refer in the documentary to the favorite girls. Like they would have the favorite girls that got different treatment than the other girls. And one harrowing story that I did, I wrote this down and I had not heard of this story. There was an apartment.
Oh, this, yeah.
This is horrifying. There was an apartment in Soho that I assume Stephen owned. But
they did. It's a Brandy Melville.
It's a Brandy apartment.
It's like a comedy condo. It's like a part, you know.
So like somebody could stay there if they were in town, whether it was an employee from out of town or like one of Stephen's friends or whatever. Yeah. So this girl was in the US on a visa and somehow it came to be that she was going to be put up in this apartment for a few days. And when she got there, there was an older man staying there. She didn't know there was going to be an older man staying there.
They also said it was an Italian older man. And I'm like, which Italian older man do we think it was? We have no way of knowing.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. I just assumed it was that.
They were like, an Italian man was there all of a sudden. And it's like.
Now, there are other Italians who work at the company. So obviously, you know, like we're just speculating. But the.
It makes you wonder.
The way that it all went down.
If it walks like a duck and smells like a duck.
If it walks like a Steve and talks like a Steve. You know
what I mean? Like he does all this creepy stuff. I wouldn't be surprised. So, we're not saying anything.
Yeah, no, we're not making any claims. But she was 21 years old. And this older man who was staying in the apartment, who also worked for the company, took her out on the town. And she says after two drinks, she blacked out. She could not remember the entire rest of the evening. And then the hospital report said that this girl was raped by her boss.
Right.
And didn't want to report it because she would be fired.
She's on a visa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She couldn't risk complete
exploitation.
Visa taken. Horrible. It's, horrible.
It goes from just very minute levels to the most extreme.
I mean, that's the worst story that I learned, but that it's just indicative of the creepiness that's been going on in this company for decades. Aside from mistreating their employees, they just perpetuate a very unhealthy beauty standard for their customers knowingly. Like, it's part of the business model. And they kept reiterating that over and over in the documentary that Stefan wanted it to be aspirational.
Right.
He, like we said, took away the sizes. He slapped a label on all the clothing that said one size fits all. And people in the company were initially worried about it. They said, oh, isn't this going to reduce our sales? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, it's not, because whatever we lose out in sales of like people who can't buy it, we're increasing the level of aspiration.
Right. And a lot of girls did lose weight to fit into Brandy Melville. They like documented their journeys online. People got eating disorders. Sales associates, if they gained weight and they couldn't fit in the clothes, they would lose their jobs.
Yeah, yeah. One girl actually said that she was in eating disorder recovery and she was actually really proud of herself for gaining 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. But then she was getting pushback from upper management that she, you know, didn't look as good in the clothing anymore.
Retail job.
These girls are getting paid minimum wage.
Not that it's ever okay.
No, but
for like $10 an hour, you can fuck off with telling me how my body should look.
I know. I just kept thinking, where are these girls' parents at this time? Like, do they not know how bad the working conditions are? I mean, I get it. I was a teenager and if I had a job, I wouldn't have wanted to talk to my parents about it necessarily. Mm-hmm. But God damn, I just kept wondering that. Like, because it just seems like something that you'd be able to spot, but whatever, I digress. A lot of eating disorders and the customer base, you know, a lot of people have reported, like you said, trying to lose weight to fit into the clothes. Mm-hmm. They opened a store in Shanghai, actually, and the clothing was somehow made even smaller.
Wow.
And there was a challenge going around on social media called the BM Challenge, Brandy Melville, not bowel movement. That was my first thought. I was like, what?
I was like, what does that sound like?
Yeah, the BM Challenge. And it was with this one particular skirt that these girls would take like before photos. They couldn't close the skirt. And then it was like, how much weight can we lose to fit into this specific Brandy Melville $10 skirt?
Mm-mm.
Ridiculous. Yeah, so the documentary features story after story of customers and employees just feeling so celebrated when they could wear the clothes, but then eventually being ostracized if they didn't maintain their body size. So basically what they're doing is they're likening it to a cult, because that's what happens in a cult is you feel this immense acceptance. And then if you do anything to step out of line, I mean, you could be out and you could have no one and nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the fear. What did you take away from the documentary?
I definitely related to the part where, you know, teenage girls want to fit in.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like.
It reminded me of Abercrombie. Like, you remember how people just wanted to wear T-shirts with a moose on it.
Right.
Like, that's all we wanted because it's what it represented.
Let me hit you with something so niche, listeners. DM us, but do you remember Express in 2004? They had this like cotton stretch like cap sleeve shirt with a zipper, like a invisible zipper that would go down the front and like a little collar. And it came in all these different solid colors. And at my middle school, every girl, every popular girl had one of these Express tops with the half zip. And again, Express, straight size brand, you know, and I was a fat kid. And I remember I like found one XL and I felt so accepted because I was in an Express half zip collared. Like in retrospect, it's so creepy that we all wore the same shirt.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Anything to feel accepted and like you're part of a group.
I know, because like when I think of, it's funny because when I think of like the coolest kids in my high school, like they were kind of more unique than that. And maybe that's like,
oh, please dump on South Carolina cool kids, because I'm still traumatized by them. Like a core trauma memory. I have a couple memories from childhood that I still feel guilty about. And one of them is begging, screaming, crying for a pink fleece North Face jacket from my grandma, because if I didn't have one, I wouldn't be accepted. I'm telling you, I was on the floor screaming and crying that I had to have one because I wanted to be accepted.
Specifically a North Face.
A North Face. That's at AC Flora High School in Columbia, South Carolina. All the cool kids, AKA rich kids, had these North Faces.
I had one too. I had a powder blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just really wanted one. And my family didn't have a lot of money. And my grandma, like, by darn it, got me one.
Aww.
You know, and it's so sweet. She could have said no, but I'm like, we could have used that money for food, you know?
Yeah, but you have no concept. I mean, I'm sure to you, this was like the most important.
It
like,
was.
Like hierarchy of needs. It's at the bottom.
Yeah. And so Stefan Marsan figured out a way to bottle and sell the teenage girl desire to be accepted. So it is an evil genius thing that I totally understand how he did it. I just hate that he did it.
Yeah, I had pretty much the same reaction. I was like, oh, I get how this happens. And but looking at the feedback, because I've been kind of perusing the Reddits. Yeah. I've been kind of perusing the Instagram comments under snippets of this documentary. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy the way that some of the customers are still defending them and still saying like, yeah, but all fast fashion is bad.
Oh, and it runs deep.
It runs so deep. I mean, and I see, and this is one argument that I see over and over is like, why can't we have a store for small sizes when there are stores for plus sizes, and that's okay.
Okay, well, all the stores are for small sizes.
Thank you, Lauren.
And you mean all the stores? Why can't we have a straight pride day? You mean every day? You mean every day?
That is the perfect comparison. But it's exactly the
same
thing.
There's no straight pride. Yes, there is.
It would be different. Like, I think maybe you could make that argument if Brandy Melville was for people who were smaller than the typical small sizes.
I don't know.
Like, you know how there are big and tall stores? If it was a petite store, or if it was for people who are abnormally, you know, there are people who just have very, very small frames, right? And they have a hard time shopping. But it's not that kind of store.
Yeah, instead of big and tall, just short and tiny.
Yeah, like if I can wear the clothes, I'm a very, you know, typical straight size, you know, I don't need to shop at a special store.
Right.
So I think that's kind of a cop out. Like, I think that's just something that people say to ruffle feathers. Yeah. And just because like they don't want to look inward and be like, okay, this is actually fucked up.
Right.
But there's a size small or a size two at every retail store.
Yeah, there's Brandy Melvilles everywhere that aren't called Brandy Melville. They just also have other sizes.
Exactly.
So
if you actually are so small that you can't shop at other stores, more sizes would still benefit you. Mm-hmm. I think that's the piece that people are missing too. It's like, no, the problem is that it's one size. Like that's extremely restrictive. One size is really only going to look good on 1% of the population, and that's being generous.
Right.
So that's another reason why it's sad. It's like people are buying all these clothes just to fit in when, like, they might not even fit them properly. because they're one size.
You know what? That reminds me of going shopping as like a fat middle schooler and just buying anything that fits.
Yeah. Well, because
you're like, well, this peasant blouse technically fits. So I'm going to buy it.
That was me in Forever 21 because Forever 21 did not have plus sizes when I was in high school. So I would find the one thing in a size large that I could get on my body. And it never looked good because it wasn't the right size.
But if it fits, I sits.
Yes. If it fits, I sits. Guys, watch the documentary and let us know what you think of it. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I would actually like to close on the call to action that the documentarian gave because it does make you feel guilty when you watch it because of all of the fast fashion stuff and the scenes in Ghana that you show.
Yeah, that stuff was unsettling.
And it's very unsettling. And it's true. Like, we do participate in that and we don't want to think about it. And so the whole time I'm like, well, what do they want me to do? And then they end on a very simple call to action, which is buy less. And it's like, okay, I can do that. They're not saying stop buying things. They're saying buy less. If we all buy a little less, we can cause a little less harm.
And I agree with that. And I walked away with the same thing. I was like, okay, like I don't need to express order things on Amazon all the time. Like I have too many things. I know that if I'm donating stuff this often, I could have just probably not bought it.
Yeah.
Bought it in the first place and whatever. But you don't have to be perfect, but we can all make a conscious effort to reduce our spending and you'll have more money. You'll have more money to spend on nicer things.
I was relieved I could do the call to action. I was like, they better not try to take away my clothes.
Another thing that I walked away from the documentary with is just this feeling of like, I can do a little more research into the companies that I'm buying from because one thing that I learned is that the tags on a lot of the Brandy Melville clothes say made in Italy. So it does give off the illusion that it's higher quality than like a Fashion Nova or a Shein or whatever. But it turns out that the city in Italy where it's produced is basically a factory town.
And
they bring in these Chinese immigrants who are working in poor conditions. I mean, it's really not that different.
It's a Chinese factory in Italy, which is how they can technically say
Made in Italy. But you see Made in Italy and you're like, oh, it's good quality.
This is Italian.
But yeah, it's almost like ritzy, you know? Like, ooh, Made in Italy.
Go get some pizza.
I could have just never fallen victim to Brandy Melville in the first place if I did a little research beforehand. So,
well, don't victim blame yourself too hard.
I'm not.
It's hard out there, but learn some things.
I'm learning like how I can be a smarter consumer moving forward. And I appreciate the documentary for that. So,
same.
Guys, check it out. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Everything's Fine on Instagram. If you like this episode, please write us a review. Don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And follow me at Lauren Hope Crass.
Follow me at Lubination. And remember, we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on all socials and send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.